We are taught to say please and thank you from a very early age. I would say most of us would remember times like that, and also some penalties when we didn't. This is a courtesy extended to someone when making a request or asking a favor. Doing so is actually considered good manners, and these courtesies are pleasing to others. Kind of gets us outside the realm of our own insular world that we live in sometimes. But beyond the words we use, our actions should also be pleasing to others. And I have the prime example of someone who actually achieved that, who did it in his life. And I'll start with this statement, that there is testimony from heaven that was given concerning Jesus Christ, confirming that he, his son, pleased the Father. Now, very few people in the Bible can lay claim to having pleased God over the many millennia now. Certainly the pre-flood world did not attain that. Sodom and Gomorrah was so against God in their rebellion that they were destroyed by God. Israel and Judah likewise have been corrected time and time again by God because they were not pleasing him. King Saul had the opportunity of eternity to be ruler over Israel for all time, and yet he lost that opportunity by his rebellion. And that brings us to this age. God's not very happy, not very pleased with what's going on in the world today. And when we hear the weekly update, we can just reflect on that fact. But let's go to Matthew 3, verse 17. Pointing back to Jesus Christ again, as he began his ministry, this was said, Matthew 3, verse 17, "And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Then Matthew 17 and verse 5. This is the occurrence when he is being transfigured on the mountain. He had a few of his closest disciples with him. And Peter even mentions this episode later in one of his letters. But now in Matthew 17, verse 5, "While he was still speaking," this is Peter speaking, "behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Something's added here. It says, "Hear him." What do you mean, hear him? Listen to what he's saying. Follow, obey what he's saying. Now here, taking it a little more in detail, what are some of the key things that Jesus Christ did to please the Father? I'll give you a couple of points and some scriptures to go along with it. Number one, he did what God commanded him to do, and he did not sin. Because he did what God commanded him to do, he avoided sin because he was an obedient son. John 5 and verse 30. Here's the approach of Jesus Christ, and it's a great example for all of us to put into our own repertoire of Christian living. John 5 and verse 30. And in the context of this verse and those around it, it really lays out the great master plan of salvation. But as the leader of that, we read now, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus Christ pleased God by doing what the Father commanded him. Hebrews 4, verses 14 and 15. The truth of these verses is vitally important to us. As we look to Jesus Christ, who is our example, Hebrews 4 and verse 14 to begin. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He committed no sin. He only pleased God by his obedience. Point number two in this sermonette, in faith, Jesus Christ believed and trusted God implicitly or totally. And it was a challenge. As we know and we read the context of his life or the events of his life, when he struggled, he overcame, and he did not sin, and he did not stop obeying the Father. Luke 23, verse 46. Luke 23 and verse 46. We find him having been nailed to the stake, about to die, and right to the end, Jesus Christ trusted God. He believed what God had promised to do to resurrect him and to restore his life. Luke 23, verse 46, and when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Maybe some of us have reached points in our lives where things are so impossible that we've come before God in heartfelt, sincere dedication to the Father, saying, can't do it, Father, but I trust you. Lead me. Help me to face this trial and overcome it. Into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Now let's go to Revelation 1, verse 18. Revelation 1 and verse 18. This is kind of the end of the matter, if you please. This is what all of this pleasing God resulted in. This is the fruit of it. Here's what Jesus Christ testifies of himself in verse 18 of Revelation 1. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death, or the grave. Brethren, not by our own strength, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can please God. And I'm giving you this topic just to make the point. Let's make it a goal. We can. We actually can, like Jesus Christ did, please God, because we're being taught to have him rule and reign and help in our lives. We have the example of Jesus Christ, and we have his help. Ask the Father, individually, each one of us, to help us please him, and as well to please our Savior, Jesus Christ, by following his mighty example of absolute dedication and obedience to the Father.